I have a message this morning. I feel like it's from the Lord. And I'd like to share it with you with the help of the Lord. I want to think about... before I start, I'd like to say that this message is to all the ministers of the Lord, which would be every child of God that's here this morning. There's some of us who preach from the pulpit, but in truth, the Lord has called us all to be ministers. So this message this morning applies to all of us. Now, we might have a different way the Lord wants to speak to us about it. We may have different responsibilities that it touches on, but all of us have a place this morning to be careful with what we're going to talk about and follow the Lord in this thing. I want to talk about the gathering of the people. I may stir a verse in some of your minds this morning. But we're going to talk about the gathering of the people. That's what's on my heart. I pray the Lord helps me to know how to be a gatherer of the people. In another place, He called it fishers of men. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Lord, teach us. Help us to learn how to be gatherers of men, to be fishers of men this morning. I want to talk, we're going to look in 1 John, well not 1 John, I'm sorry, John the first chapter. And we're going to look at the 35th verse here. I want to say too, as you are getting that passage, that I've also thought about this message this morning in relation to parents. But I've thought about it in the fact that if you're a parent, you're a minister, right? You're one of the most important ministers in the world, if not the most important. I don't know who's more important than parents when it comes to ministry and speaking to their children. So I want to make sure and bring that to your mind as well this morning to think about as we discuss these verses here. This 35th verse says, this is speaking of where John the Baptist, most of us know that he had disciples. He had those that were under his care. And John was not John was trying to accomplish the same thing we are today. John's mission was to gather people. And I want you to look at this here. It says, "And again the next day John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." John's standing with two of his disciples. They're John John and Andrew were the two. If you look through here, you'll find out that's who it was. It's two people that have come to John. If you think about, let's talk about what John was doing. John was born and called to be a prophet of the Lord. And he had given his life to do that. And in the process of time, as he had given his life to prophesying about the coming Savior, about the Messiah, about teaching, about making the way straight, making the way plain, preparing your hearts for the Messiah to come. In doing all of this and preaching about him, there had been disciples who had come and chosen to come and sit under him, students, learners. People who were looking to him for direction in a way. They were listening, waiting upon him. And so he had we don't know how many he had. We know he had more than these two because later on some of his disciples came and talked to Jesus. So John had somewhat of a gathering that was around him that were there because of what he was doing. They had come because of what he was doing. And John is reaching a point. Well, if you think about that for a minute, if you're in that position, how easy it is. You start out and you've got a mission in life and people start coming around you and gathering around you a little bit and maybe they've got a glimpse of something you've got. They glimpsed of something that John had and they wanted to be around him. You know, that can get to be a pretty good feeling. John could have gotten a feeling, you know, this is pretty neat. I'm doing what I'm supposed to, and it's kind of neat that I've got these followers here, and it kind of makes me feel good, and it kind of makes me feel at peace. It's nice to sit down and see that let's see, how many are there today? How many are here today? Well, look. Oh, this is nice. This is so good to have this group around me, and I'm liking this. And you know what? I'm getting to think maybe that this is where everybody should be. And everybody needs to be around me, and they need to listen to me, and they need to hear what I have to say, and they need to be focused on me, and if they'll stay with me, then we'll make it to heaven. And if they don't stay with me, maybe they're going to have a problem or something. You know, all these thoughts. I'm telling you, thoughts that can come in our head, and we might not think them that way, but we can easily start allowing those kind of spirits to start coming in around us a little bit. You know, John could have been this way. He could have got that. You know what? Were there any other prophets? How many years had there been? It wouldn't have been hard to get a big head and to start thinking, well, this is nice. Let's just gather in all my flock here. Let's just get on. And I'll keep teaching about Jesus, but listen, they need to be here. They need to hear me teach about Jesus. They need to listen to me. It would have been so easy to do that. So easy. You know, You feel free to disagree with me, but I think I'm right about this. It's easy for us to do the same thing today. It would be so easy for us as ministers of the Word, like we talked about. And you can think about that as, okay, right now I'm in the pulpit, so I can think about it that way. Or I can think about it with the people that I'm reaching to out in the world. And as maybe today, let's just do it. I'm here in the pulpit, so I'm preaching the Word, and I can get to thinking, oh, this is nice. These people need to hear me every Sunday. I wouldn't wish that on you. Anyway, but I can get to thinking, you know what? I need to be here every Sunday. This is where I need to be. If I'm not here, then things aren't going to be what they need to be. They need to listen to me. These people need to gather. They need to come to my place. They need to come to my church. That little word, that two-letter word starts getting in there, my, me, us. Let me just step back for a minute and say something, because I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. I'm so thankful for what I've grown up in, for the truth I've been taught. I am so thankful. And I wish it for everyone to have the opportunity to hear the Word of God and worship Him freely. I wish it for everybody. So let me say that. But you see, I can get to thinking, yeah, me, me, come in. All right, so as minister, so say at work, you start having the opportunity and you're dealing with somebody, or maybe it's at school and you're dealing with somebody, and, oh, this is getting good. You know, I'm really getting them where they need to go. They really need me. There's no way I can be led somewhere else, because see, I've got this group here. And they need me, and they're not going to make it if I'm not here to teach them what they need to learn. They're not going to make it. So they need me to teach them. You know what? I said before, I believe as parents, we have one of the most important ministries in the world. And I am, if you talk to me very long, you'll probably figure out how much I believe in parents. How much I believe how important we are to children. But you know, there come times, and mine are young now. They haven't reached all those points in their life. But I know, I was there, I grew up, I see other children. As parents, we can get to thinking, and it's so hard for me to say this the right way, because children need their parents. But there are times where we've got to do what John did here. We've got to understand the limitations we have. As a parent, there's nobody else in the world I want my child to come to besides me, except one. There is one person that if it has to be a choice between me and him, this is hard to say, but I mean it with all my heart. If it comes down to me and Jesus, guess what? Get me out of the way. If this is something that you can't talk, that you've got to go, get me out of the way. Yes. But sometimes parents, we think, no, I've got to handle this situation. I've got to handle that situation. No, there is nothing. There is nothing. Everything you ever need is going to have to come through me. And we reach adulthood, and all of a sudden we realize that ain't going to happen. Our children reach adulthood is what I mean. And we realize that isn't going to happen. But I'm preaching a little bit ahead of my time, but I understand what's coming. Okay? In a way. I haven't been there yet, but I understand what's coming. We reach a time and all of a sudden it's like, it's going to come anyways. Why not now start teaching them? You know what, son? I'm here. Daughter, I'm here for you. Whatever you need. But you know what? There is one greater.
Amen.
And let's do like John did here. When we have these opportunities in life, when we come to those moments, let's, Lord, help us to recognize them. We've got to recognize them first, whether it's with our children or it's those around us or whatever it may be. We come to these moments, we have to recognize like John did right here. John had his disciples. They were with him. But he was standing there and he saw Jesus. And I thought about it this way. He didn't stand back and say, you know what? Okay, look there. Look at that picture of that guy. That's the guy I've been telling you about. Now come here. Let me tell you more about him. Now come. No. You stay here. You need to listen to me. I'll tell you all you need to know about him. That's not what John said. Okay? John looked up. It said, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb. That has struck. Behold the Lamb. Let me be quiet for a moment and just think about that. What John just said. There he is. This is the man I've been telling you about.
Yes.
That's who. That's him.
Yes.
There he is. John recognized. He could have missed the moment so easily. If his heart wasn't prepared the right way, he could have so missed it. But here's his disciples and there's that man. And he says, behold, there he is. That's him. We come to that moment and one greater than me is passing by. We've come to that moment and one greater than me is passing by. I'm not going to stand here and let it go.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there he is.
Yes.
And in effect, he was saying, go.
Yes.
Go to him. Do we have that kind of courage? Do we have that kind of selflessness?
Yes.
Lack of pride, humility,
yes.
Whatever it takes. To recognize those moments and say, there he is.
Yes.
There he is in your life. That's him. That's him knocking, answering.
Yes.
No, you don't have to have me explain everything. He's alive. If he wasn't alive, you wouldn't need me.
Right.
You wouldn't need me to explain it to you. But guess what? He's alive.
Yes.
And that's him. He's knocking on your door. Talk to him.
Amen.
Go. Behold the Lamb.
Yes.
Lord, help me to have those words ready and recognize those moments and say, behold the Lamb.
Yes.
There he is. Go to him. And what happened? Oh, Lord, help our hearts.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to our children, sometimes that's hard. That's hard, but it says, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. He knew what was fixing to happen. He knew. Why was there just two with him? Might they not have been some of the closest ones to him? Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't say that. But there was just two disciples there with him, and he said, go. There he is. Go. Behold the Lamb.
Amen.
He knew what was fixing to happen. He knew he was fixing to, oh, it's been so good to have you here. And I want to just keep you here. So what I want to do the rest of your life, in my life, I want to keep you here. And you just hold on to me. That's what you need to do. It hurt him, I'm sure, in some ways. It hurt him to say, there he is. Go follow him. There were some emotions there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
There was. We know John had emotions. He sent to Jesus later and said, are you really him?
Yes.
I mean, he dealt with those things.
That's right.
But he said, there he is. Go. Go to him. Lord, help us. I pray that God help me recognize that and be ready and willing to. Sometimes it breaks your heart, but do it. He's the one they need to be looking at. He's the one they need to find. They're not. If they have me the rest of their life, it's not going to get them to heaven.
That's right.
Whoever it is, my children, the people around me, y'all, if you have me the rest of life, it's not going to do, I pray it does something to help you, but it's not going to get you to heaven.
That's
right. Behold the Lamb. Listen to Him. Follow Him. Just because we don't enumerate something from here doesn't mean there's not something He's trying to talk to you about and deal with you. Every one of us need to be spending time with Him, listening to Him, opening up our hearts to Him because He's alive. And He wants to speak to us and talk to us. You know what? Let's look in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And we'll talk about that just a minute. Now, I don't mean to be facetious or anything, but I just want us to think about this. And I'm going to extend my question a little bit, so just bear with me. But the word perfect means complete. In other words, I've got everything. I have everything. I've got all knowledge, all everything. So right now, if you qualify for that, not physically, because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but just in your heart, raise your hand if you're perfect. Meaning that you have, that you are a source of all knowledge and all good. Now, in your heart, I don't want to leave you beat down. Because when we consider that in light of God, sometimes if that's all we consider, it can beat you down a little bit. But I want to consider this too. Do you have something?
Yes.
If you don't have anything this morning, Lord help us. Come on down, get something.
Amen.
We all have something.
Yes.
See, sometimes I see this in the world. It's like you see in the religious world, oh, I'm nothing, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. And it's just a beat down thing. It's an excuse for not being able to help somebody along the way. Not be able to point them to God and to Christ.
Amen.
Yes, we have some knowledge. And then the other thing happens when we finally say we have knowledge. Well, then we got to think of some kind of, I'm not pointing finger, I'm just saying human nature. We get to thinking, well then, yeah, I know some stuff. Yeah, maybe I am perfect, so to speak. No, people, we're just children. God's teaching us stuff.
Amen.
And it's our mission. We can't stand back and say, oh, I'm nothing, and just let our children try to figure it out on their own. When God gives us a place in our workplace and there's someone there who needs to hear about Jesus, we can't stand back and say, I'm nothing. And not share the Lord with them. Yes, no, you're, in that sense, you're not nothing. God's given you some things.
That's right, amen.
And what He's given you, there is something there that the Lord's put there. If there's not, you need to pray. We all need to pray,
amen,
that the Lord puts things in us. So we have things to share. So if you follow that illustration, in part, we have something. We do because of what the Lord's put in our life. And we have a responsibility to share it and to help people along. And to share, you know, and I wonder sometimes if God does, I know He does, but I'm just saying it this way. If He doesn't say, alright, this one's got so much of this stuff, and this person over here needs some of those things, so I'm going to bring them together in life for a little bit.
Yes.
I'm going to bring them together a little bit because they've got something that through them I can kind of share and open up this person's eyes. So I'm going to take this vessel, that is what we are, right? I'm going to take this vessel off the shelf and I'm going to come over to this vessel and I'm going to pour a little bit of what I put in them. I'm going to give some of that to this other person. And I'm going to use them together for this time in their life.
Amen.
And God does that.
Yes, He does.
What we've got to understand is then He normally takes us and puts us back on the shelf. Because we don't have everything.
That's right.
We can't start saying, well, okay, just stay here. I've got all you need. No, we're just part.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here in these verses in Corinthians, it says, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, 9th verse. And I know this is talking about love, but it applies to what we're saying this morning. It says, for we know in part, you have. If you're living for the Lord, He is putting things in your life and you have a responsibility. Those are those talents that He's talked about.
Yeah.
You can't just hole up and just bury them. Oh, you can. But you remember how that story ends? It doesn't end well. You can't hole up and say, well, okay. No, God expects. He's putting things in you and He expects you to be sharing them.
That's right. Amen.
For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part shall be done away with. I just want to hit nail on that premise right there. We know in part, but there comes a point where we have to say, behold the Lamb.
Amen.
I mean, all the time we should be saying it, but if you understand by the illustration there, God can never use us to do everything that needs to be done for somebody, for one person in life.
Amen.
If He could, then we could just gather all in together and He can. He's got to use us as He can.
Amen.
Different ones. When it's our time to step back, we need to know it's time to step back. It's time to say, "Behold the Lamb." This whole time, it's all been about Him anyways.
Amen.
We weren't getting any... If you're getting any good, it wasn't because of who I was, but it was because of what the Lord put in me that I was able to share with you. And now it's time for you to step on. To go on. It's time for me to step back. Remember John said that. He said, "I must decrease so that He can increase." If we stay there... Let's say it's your people at work or even people here. If we start trying to say, "No, it's got to be me." God can't increase in that kind of situation. He can't increase. We hinder Him. God can always increase. God can always do anything. But we're not helping the matter at all. When we're, "I've got to stay here. I've got to stay there. They've got to stay with me." When we start getting that spirit, we're hindering the work of the Lord. We're not helping it at all.
Yes.
Whatever it is. If it says parents, preachers, children of God, whatever it is that the Lord's called us to. And yes, He has called every single one of you. No one here has the option of sitting on the talent that God's put in their life.
Amen.
On what God's poured into their life. He's called every single one of us. You can't avoid this situation. If you do, you won't like the results. God said it very clearly. He said that wicked servant, take from him what he seems to have, take from him what he had, and give it to this one that had 10 or whatever the number was, and cast him away.
Yes.
God's serious about this. We have got to, what's in us has got to grow.
Amen.
So when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done with. Lord, help us to recognize that, to recognize those moments in life when it's something that's beyond us that it's time for us to step back and say, "Behold the Lamb." Genesis 49 and 10. And this is where Jacob is blessing his sons. He's called his sons together. He's about to pass on. And he's blessing each one individually. And he comes down to Judah. And he says here in the 10th verse, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be."
Yes.
The gathering of the people.
Yes.
Unto him.
Amen.
You know, what did God... You know, I know there where He told the story about the king who gave a marriage for his son and He invited all these servants in. And I know what happened there and all. But the point I want to make is, where did He tell him to go? This morning, I hope this isn't the highways and the hedges right here. I hope it's not. I hope maybe there's some who've trickled in from there. But I hope we're living in a way that we're not dwelling in the highways and hedges of life.
Amen.
So I think He was talking about some people, and maybe He was giving the illustration. People, there's a whole world out there.
Amen.
There's a whole world that's dying. Is there no hope? Is there no hope for them? If they never make it through these back doors, is there no hope for them? Is there no way they're ever going to hear about the truth? You know, Pilate tried to say, "I've washed my hands." Do you think that really worked? I don't think that worked. I don't think this morning we can say, "I've washed my hands. This world's wicked and it's gone and I've washed my hands and here's where I am, here's where I'll stay. Whatever ministry I do is right here. And this is it." No, there's a world. There's a world out there. And Lord help me, this has been a prayer on my heart because people, I don't have an answer of how to do it. I don't know, and I think it's probably different way He wants to use every single one of us. But there's a whole world out there that needs to be reached. I can't reach them all. You can't reach them all. The Lord can if we go. If we go, like you said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You didn't say, you know, you see that wicked part over there? Say, oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. He told Jonah not to go to Nineveh, didn't he? He told him, no, he didn't. He reached down and put a finger on one of the wickedest cities and said, there you are. Go. Go. And you know, and I want to say, just throw in here real quick, he also told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. But then he said, go. Go. Get what you need. Get your life where it needs to be. Get filled with my Spirit. Get ready. Get filled up. And go. Let me guide you. You know, hey, Philip didn't know where that eunuch was. He had no clue where that guy was. I just picture my mind, next thing you know, here he was. Lord, where am I? This guy's over here. Where in the world am I? You know, where have you put me? How did I get here? Oh, that the Lord can use us all that way. And I'm not talking about just geographically. I'm talking about right where you know where you are. Wherever you are right now. Oh, that the Lord can use us that way. Lord, how did I get here in this office cubicle talking to this guy about salvation and sanctification and how God really can fill you with His glory and empower you to be His pure and holy and clean vessel to go out and reach the world? Or however you want to say, how did I get here talking to this person about this? The Lord wants to send us. He wants to send us out there into the world. Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You know, I use this word people on purpose. Because as all the world is full of people. And it's God's heart that they'd all just gather to Him.
Amen.
Lord, that that'd be our heart this morning. That it'd be our heart that they would gather to Him. You know what? I want to reach everyone who's sitting here, and I want to reach everyone I can who's not.
Amen.
In this life. Lord, You know what we can do. You know how to help us do it. Lord, that's my will.
Amen.
2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter.
Amen.
All right, now, you have been given weapons. You know, and maybe you never get the thought of shrinking from battle. But maybe for just a moment I'll relate a story real quick. God had put me in one of these places. I believe it with all my heart. I don't know why He chose me. I say that a lot of times. But He wants to choose all of us. It's not anything. He wants to choose us all in different ways. But we had a little Bible study started at work. And I'd had a guy there I was meeting and praying with and all, and he didn't understand everything about what I believed and all, but we had spent some time praying together and reading in the morning, just fellowshipping as we could. And they started this other Bible study. And it was, you know, in his element, he was, we could share between us. We could have differences of opinion. That's kind of rare. It really honestly is. If you've had experiences like that with everybody you've met, that's great. I'm glad. But that's just a rare experience to have someone who doesn't really believe everything you're saying, but is willing to talk and share. So it was a good thing there. I was in ways enjoying that. But then they started this other Bible study, a bigger group. And sometimes, well, to make a long story short, I knew I had to be there. And I didn't want to be there because I knew in my heart, sometimes you just know things are building up to a point. You don't really know, but God's leading your heart, and you understand where things are going, maybe. And I told him, I said, look, I don't want to go. I want to just go find a hole and climb in it. That's what I want to do. I just want to bury my head in the sand and let this moment pass. I said, but I can't. I can't. I know with all my heart I can't. God's wanting me there. And I worked with children in a therapy setting. And I was swinging one of the little children on a swing, and she loved the song "Jesus Loves Me," and she was singing the song, and but she had a little bit of a speech impediment, and as she sang this song, and it was right in this time I was going through this, it came out, the way it came out from her mouth was, "Yes, Jesus shoves me." And anyways, okay, God, that's exactly how I feel. And thank God, you know, we want to be a part of this. The devil battles us and tries to pull us down sometimes, but it's worth it to go on out there. Put yourself out on a limb for him. Now, you know, I have total peace in my heart about that situation. It did blow up. It blew up one day. It took about 3 lessons, and God was just hammering something in my heart, and I was having to share it each time, and finally it got through what I was saying. And I don't know if they ever had another Bible study. I regret that. But I did what the Lord, I know He called me to do it the way I did it, in humility, to share the truth. And I don't know what the results are of it, but I did what I had to, and I have peace about it. We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing. Even you stand up and you say, "This thing's going to blow up." Share it. Step out there. It's not about you anyways. I've come to a point in my life where it's been 5.5 years since I've seen anybody. It's pretty much been 5 years since I've seen anybody who was in that Bible study. I don't know what became of that. But I know with all my heart I did what I was supposed to. And I can rest in that and trust that because it's not me. I'm not here to gather people to me. I'm not here to try to make sure I say things just the right way so they stay with me.
Amen.
I'm here to say, "Behold the Lamb."
Amen.
There He is. And if it costs me everything, I never want in my heart to draw back from saying that.
Amen.
I want to be willing with whoever it is in my life to say, "Behold the Lamb." Because unto Him is the gathering of the people. When we get in heaven, we can pat each other on the back and say, "You know what? Thank you so much for what you did." And we can be together forever. But right now, that might not always happen that way. What we've got to do is say the right thing, be in tune with the Lord, and be ready to say, "Hear me." Here He is. So you've got weapons of warfare. And it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of..." Brandon? I would use your name, but I don't want to put you on the spot. Put your name in there. Is that who we're... It's my goal with my children. It's my goal of obedience with my children. Just so that when I'm 80 years old, I can look them in the eye and say, "Go get me a glass of water," and they go and get it. Is that what I'm trying to accomplish here? What an empty, vain, worthless thing.
That's right.
I taught my children obedience. They're going to obey. They'll go get me a glass of water if I want it. That's why, hey, it's children, I'm not making fun of that. If your parents ask you for a glass of water, go get it. But there's a reason why you need to go get it. And it's not just about obeying your parents. And parents, it's not just about them obeying me. Lord, help me.
Yes.
It's more than that.
That's right.
It's obedience of Christ. The things, Lord help me, that I teach, that I share with anybody, is not so I gain some following or anything like that.
That's true.
It's so that they'll learn. If I can have any part in anyone learning to bring down everything, to melt themselves into the obedience of Christ, so that one day we can be in heaven shaking hands and be together. Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yes.
You know where Jesus is right now? You know where He is right now? Anybody know? Is he down the way in Hammond right now? I'm talking about, where's He dwelling physically? Or however you want to think about it. The right hand of God. Where is that? That's in heaven.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We gather everybody to us. They're gathering around an earthly thing. We gather them to Jesus. We point them to Jesus. One day we're together forever.
Amen.
Ever. You pray for me. I just want to say one thing as we, in closing here. Well, it says right here, "Sirs, we would see Jesus."
Yeah.
Nothing else is going to work, y'all. Amen. Nothing is going to work. If people are going to be saved, they're going to have to know Jesus. They're going to have to see Jesus. They can see me all they want to. They can see us all they want to. But if they don't see Jesus, it isn't going to work. I don't care how obedient they become in our minds. If they're not fully obedient to Christ, if they haven't seen Christ and everything they're doing has been, it's because they have melted in His arms, have yielded themselves to Him completely. It's the only way. And it's the only way for us. We all need to be gathered to Christ, to Jesus. Shiloh has come. And unto Him is the gathering of the people. My heart is just full this morning. I believe maybe that's enough, but I'm so thankful for a living Savior. I am so thankful because I need Him. Even if I could pack one of you in my back pocket all the time, I don't think it'd work like it does with Jesus. I know it doesn't. But you know what? I've got a Savior who hears me. And you know what? When I was in sin and I didn't know Him, He was calling to me. And when I answered Him, He answered me and He drew me to Him. Lovingly, He drew me to Him and cared for me and loved me and took care of me and has disciplined me, has worked in my life and is still working. I'm not perfect. But the Lord is living in me and helping me become who He wants me to be in Him. He has saved me and cleansed me. And remember the word perfect. What we're saying is I'm still just in part. But I got a hold on somebody who has it all. And every one of us this morning, every person sitting here can get a hold of this person, this being. There's no one restricted. Everyone can come this morning. If you're willing to lay down your life and turn your life over to Christ, don't tell me what you've done as an excuse that you can't come. Don't tell me how many years it's been. Don't even tell me how you can't do such and such, such and such, such. If you want to be saved this morning, God can take care of you.
Amen.
He can cleanse you and save you. And you know what? You may walk out of here and I'll never see you again. But Jesus will.
Amen.
Jesus will go with you. He will walk. And you know what? In the end, you're going to have to be obedient to Him anyways. It wouldn't matter if you measured up to everything. You're going to have to be obedient to Him. And if you come down here and call for Him, and He fills your life, He'll go with you. And when you walk out this door, He's still watching you. He's there to help you, care for you, and He's watching. He knows what's going on in your life. You're not going to hide anything from Him. Lord, help us. It's worth it. Be gathered to Him this morning. That's what He wants. You pray for me.